get promos and discounts from Filipino startups. Check out our partners at the description. Matt Starters is co-founder at Respeak. Hello, Matt. Welcome to the Startup Podcast. We're very happy to have you. How are you?
Hello, Johnny. I'm okay, sir. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm fine. And thank you for accepting our invite here at the podcast. I'm very excited to know more about you and to know more about Respeak. So it's a decentralized video platform in the Hive blockchain. And here in the podcast, we're interviewing one by one the founders of projects in the Hive blockchain. But now we do the introduction, Matt. So what really is Respeak?
Respeak is what I would call a censorship-resistant video platform, basically. And it's got multiple different technologies built into it to ensure that the community regulates the platform.
Yeah, that's a very big word, right? Censorship resistant. So it's a censorship resistant video platform. Maybe let's talk first about that part, because I think that's very important. I think that's very crucial. So before we talk about the video platform aspects at Respeak, let's talk about Respeak being censorship resistant and it being a decentralized platform. So what does it mean to be a decentralized platform? What does censorship resistance really mean?
I would say censorship resistance really means where a platform is built in such a way that one central party cannot delete your account, basically, or regulate your account, or shut your account down, or lock it, or censor it. Most platforms in the world are built in such a way that you actually don't own your own account. So other people own it. The people that run the platforms own it. The people that run the infrastructure own it. And that means that those people have ultimate full power and control over what you say, what you can do, what you can be online, how you identify online, which has, of course, been a serious problem in the past. In the past recent years, we've had problems where censorship's happened. Well, what Web3 decentralized social media platforms do is they put the operation of the infrastructure into the hands of the community. And then what that means is that the community effectively self-regulates. It's able to run its own infrastructure, its own video infrastructure, its own social media infrastructure, its own account infrastructure, which means that the platforms are built on top of that. They can't control the account infrastructure. They can't control all of the video operation infrastructure. And thereby, they cannot censor and control the whole platform as they do in the Web2 traditional social media platforms.
Yeah, so speaking about those traditional Web2 video platforms, right? So just to put a contrast here, so for example, the episodes of our podcast, we actually uploaded in some Web2, on some traditional video platforms. And it may seem that even though it's our account, it's my account, so it's under my name, and I created that video and I uploaded that video, it's supposed to be mine. But actually, when I upload it to the platform, I surrender the rights, I surrender the ownership to that entity, right? But the difference maybe with a Web3 decentralized video platform is that I don't actually like upload it in that, I don't actually like surrender it to that entity. When I put it out there, it's still mine and the others can see it. Is that right? How does it work really? I mean, how does the blockchain technology also work behind all of this?
Yeah, I mean, basically from the account point of view, it's just a decentralized network. So instead of it being one node operator that runs everything, like on a traditional social media platform, it's many people running the same thing over and over and over again, which means that the only way that those accounts can be censored is if everyone or a super majority in that network decide to censor that account. So it means it's much, much harder to censor accounts. It's much harder to take accounts away from people. It's basically impossible if you have the governance set up correctly. It's basically impossible. And what that means is that the community itself runs that infrastructure as a distributed network. So they have to come to consensus on which accounts can be censored, which can't be, which, you know, everything like that. And then the platforms run on top of that decentralized network. And the platforms just pull the information from the it creates a database, that decentralized network. And the platforms pull that data to their front end to show on the screen. And so because that database is on a network that's distributed, it's really everyone and nobody's, everyone and no one owns it at the same time, if you like.
Yeah, and that's That's really the essence of blockchain, right? Basically, instead of one node or one computer, like verifying all that happens, controlling all that happens, it's basically a network, a distributed network of nodes or of computers. So that community of computers, they can actually decide maybe in a majority, I mean, in a majority consensus, or depending on their consensus, on their consensus mechanism, how they decide how things happen in that network. But going back again to this, because I think that there's some sort of like principle behind this, some deeper principle behind this. Like when you say decentralization, censorship resistance, especially that you're speaking of video platform, it's like promoting freedom of speech, right? Like freedom of expression. So what's the principle? What are the principles really surrounding behind this? What really does, like, what really are you like trying to promote in Tree Speak and all of this in this whole blockchain technology?
Yeah, I think one of the ultimate end places this goes to is tokenized communities. So we've built Tree Speak completely open source so that anyone can copy it and run their own version. We've built another thing called breakaway communities so that anyone can run their own social media platform very easily with basically zero technical knowledge. You can set up your own social media platform, full platform. That also has our video technology inside of it. And then in the next few months, those platforms and those video communities will be able to be tokenized with their own tokens. So the more social you are and the more valuable you are to that community, the more people will vote for you, the more token you'll receive. So it's a way of distributing value to a community based on the value they give back to the community itself. And so that's where this is going. There's going to be multiple different video platforms and social media platforms that stand on their own right, that can't be shut down, that operate as communities self-sovereignly and have their own token economies. And that's really where I think this ends up going. And the whole point is it has to be built on a distributed neutral layer that isn't owned by anyone. And then once you have that, you have the basis upon which you can have true freedom online, true digital freedom and digital human rights, so that everyone can talk, everyone has a right to their account, everyone has a right to run and build their own communities with their own economies, and then grow from that. You know, and ultimately what it does, it creates a parallel universe. We have our current economy that we all live in, and there's benefits to it. There's big negatives to it as well. Well, this technology allows us to create parallel economies that exist on the same level as our current economy. But what that does is it then empowers the communities. So the communities themselves will have the ability to create and run their own economies. And the initial distribution mechanism of the tokens is via social media. So that's what one of the things that we're doing with Tree Speak is allowing communities to be self-sovereign by distributing governance value across that community based on their social media content, basically. And in our case, it's video. It just happens to be video.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, that's actually a very deep... I mean, it's actually a very deep concept, right? Yeah, I mean, it's like... Yeah, it's you mentioned allowing communities to be to have a self-sovereign economy, right? So what do you think is, like, I mean, let's go a bit deeper if it's okay with you. I mean, what do you think is, like, maybe wrong, or what do you think are people in the Web3 community trying to correct or trying to change in, because you said self-sovereign, the power to build these communities, this economy. So what do you think maybe incorrect, or maybe or something that should be corrected in what we have now, or in the traditional ways on how we do things?
Currently, the way the current economy is moving, it's moving in a very clear direction, and it's moving to digital IDs. It's moving to face scanning technology. It's moving to a top-down centralized authority being able to decide where you can access physically in the world, even, you know, who you're allowed to transact with. If you transact with the wrong people or you say the wrong thing, then they can shut you down, right? We are moving into that world, and everyone's kind of very nervous at the moment, and they're uncomfortably moving themselves into a position where they're starting to realize they have to accept this. And it's not human. It's not a human existence, right? It's not what we're supposed to be here to do. And this technology allows us to provide, and when I say us, I don't mean me and my team, I mean anyone that gets involved. It allows those people to provide an alternative economy that cannot stop you from transacting, that cannot stop you from speaking, that cannot control your digital identity. You control, you build your digital identity because you truly own the keys. And this is the key difference. So what it will do, hopefully, it will be a peaceful mechanism through which people can voluntarily opt out of the current system if it becomes too dictatorial, right? And too restricting upon people's freedoms. And so what that means is that, I mean, hopefully it remains peaceful and it's a nice slow transition across. But at the very minimum, it will check the current powers that be to make sure that they know that they can't just create a dictatorial digital economy that effectively enslaves people because it's centralized and gives them total power. This is an alternative check and counterbalance to that, so that they can't go too crazy. Because if they go too crazy, people will just move across to the economies that are built in the parallel universe that's being constructed with these social media platforms. And I think that's a very important milestone in humanity because it keeps some semblance of freedom for us.
Yes. listening to this, I mean, I'm actually getting a bit scared. I mean, thinking about it, you're right. I mean, we're in a stage right now where technology is moving fast, and we actually don't know how. I mean, we might know how technology might be evolving, like the technical aspects, but like the political aspects of in the future, who will control all of these things? Who will have the say? Who will dictate the rules, the mechanisms that's happening behind all of the technology that we're using, right? So it's very nice to hear that there are people like you or people like you in the Web3 community that's building an alternative system of how we can retain self-sovereign systems, I mean, communities that we ourselves can run, or that we can use these technologies without having to just be quote unquote enslaved, or quote unquote just be under the dictatorial rules of some entity. But before this episode gets a bit more darker or more serious, let's talk about TreeSpeak being a video platform. So how does TreeSpeak work? I mean, how does TreeSpeak work as a video platform?
Yeah, so with ThreeSpeak, how it works, it ultimately just uses a decentralized social media protocol to run the accounts and the infrastructure. So the main facets of a video platform are accounts, as any social media platform, database. So both of those are run on the Hive blockchain in a decentralized way. So we don't have control over the account system. We don't have control over the database, right? That's run on a distributed network that has no owner, no CEO, no ICO, no pre-mine, no regulatable entity, right? That's the important thing. A lot of these blockchain projects have gone wrong, and I can't understand why people haven't talked about this mainstream in blockchain. If there is an ICO, if there is a CEO, if there is a pre-mine, if there is a company or a foundation, then someone can be called, right? Some people can be called up. Often the ICO stakes, especially on proof of stake blockchains, it's big American venture capital firms. And they're all registered and regulated in the USA. And they, because they have these big ICO stakes that they bought pre-mine before anyone else could get them, then they're also going to be regulated. And that's a big vote in the ecosystem. So a lot of these platforms are not going to provide digital rights. They're not going to provide freedom of speech. They will provide some semblance of it, but they won't be able to do it. You need to be on a platform, on a blockchain, on a distributed network where there is no CEO, no pre-mine, no venture capital investor, no ICO, no company behind it. Because then you have a neutral chain that no one can call up to say, hey, shut this down or stop this from happening. Right? That's the key. And everyone in blockchain seems to have missed it. So then you run your infrastructure on that neutral distributed system. That's permissionless. No, you don't need to ask anyone's permission. No one can shut it down. And then you run other facets of the infrastructure that can't be run on the blockchain in other distributed networks. So, for example, as a video platform, you have to have content delivery, CDNs. You have to have encoding to encode the formats of the videos. you have to have storage to store the video somewhere, because you can't store videos on blockchain. You can store text on blockchain, but you can't store videos on blockchain. So the accounts and the text storage, the database, is on the Hive blockchain. The CDN, distributed CDN operation, and the distributed encoding operation is on something called the Speak Network, SPK Network. And that is a side system that's been built to store and run infrastructure, store content and run infrastructure that can't be done on the blockchain because it's too big and too data intensive. So it's like a layer two. And then, of course, the storage as well. We store everything on IPFS. We have a way. We're the only system in the world that can reward people for storing videos on IPFS. So we're just going into testnet using the Speak Network, where any normal person can download some software and they can go and see which videos and which content and which files they want to store to back up, to help back up the people who are presenting those files to the world. And those people who are presenting the files to the world, either they can be platforms or individual people, they can stake some tokens onto that content. And then that is made available on the Speak Network, and those tokens get distributed to the people who are backing up that content. It's a really cool system. It's the only one of its kind where you can basically run IPFS nodes, you store using IPFS, you pin using IPFS, and then the Speak Network will reward you for pinning that content. What does that mean for 3Speak? It means that if we get shut down, all of our infrastructure operators are still all over the world, right? There's still people storing our content. There's still people running CDNs. There's still people running encoders. And there's still people operating the Hive blockchain to do the accounts and the database. So if 3Speak disappears because we get shut down for whatever reason, all the people that run our infrastructure are still out there, and they still can just spin up another platform. So it makes it incredibly hard to shut this stuff down and stop it from operating, unless the community chooses to. If the community itself chooses to shut stuff down, then okay. But that's the way I think it should be. It should be that way. It shouldn't be just one call to Mark Zuckerberg, hey, shut this thing down. Stop this person from speaking. Because, yeah, okay, maybe Mark Zuckerberg's a smart guy, but it's open to corruption. Centralized systems always become corrupt. And that corruption is used and wielded against the people. And so this technology, Rick, this is the thing that I don't understand. You know, everyone's in blockchain to pump their token and make money. It's not about that. It is not about that. And the whole ecosystem has become somewhat corrupted, and it's lost its credibility a bit because of people trying to pump tokens and saying, oh, you've got to invest in this. We say, don't invest in anything. Just come and use the systems and earn the tokens, right? The key word is that you should be able to earn the tokens for you by taking part in valuable things in the ecosystem. And then that doesn't require anyone to invest anything. And as a result, what we're doing is changing the perception of blockchain, where instead of it being, oh, invest in this token to make money, what you're really doing is you're taking part in the ecosystem to earn some rights to the governance. And then what that means is that the community runs the platforms, the community runs the infrastructure, and you have a truly decentralized governance process. A lot that can't be regulated or shut down. So it gives communities individual sovereignty. It gives individual users digital human rights. That's what blockchain's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about instilling digital human rights that can't be taken from people because it's on a neutral layer, because it's operated on a neutral ownerless layer. And we seem to have lost our way in the blockchain industry for that. And it's quite sad to see at the moment, but I feel like we'll get back to what it was supposed to be eventually.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, because like in the blockchain community worldwide, there's a sort of a hype, right? I mean, some people use the blockchain hype just to get a lot of money. But I also believe, I mean, of course, you know much, much more than me, but I also believe that blockchain technology should be used in this way, should be used to promote real or genuine freedom or decentralization. And I think that's what this new project should really be about. How about the usability of 3Speak as a video platform? I mean, when people like me use it, is there something different with it, or is it like the usual? I upload my videos and I can see other people's videos. Is there a, I mean, how did you design like the interface? How did you design how people will use it? And how is the tokenomics in 3Speak? Is there a native token also in 3Speak?
3Speak itself doesn't have a native token. But there are several ways to earn from the platform. And this is the point, is that any platform can set up to use these same mechanisms to distribute value to their user base. So our main one is Hive. We own significant stakes in Hive, and obviously other whales also follow the content that are on, that's on 3Speak. So if you post content and you get a lot of views and a lot of interactions on that content, then our algorithms are looking for that and they will vote your content. And when we vote content, some of the inflation of the token, the Hive token inflates ever so slightly every year. Some of that inflation is distributed to the people that get the most votes. So as you create content, you can actually earn for creating content on the platform. And then you can use those tokens to either, you can power them up to have your own voting capabilities. So the more you power up, the more you lock in, the more power you have to distribute the inflation yourself to your to other people that you follow. Or you can sell it into the market and cash out, or you can do many other things with it as well. So that's the main way to earn. Like I said before, we're currently going into the Speak Network testnet. So once the Speak Network's integrated, that's going to be full distribution of our infrastructure operators. And anyone that runs infrastructure in the 3Speak ecosystem will earn rewards from the Speak Network as well. So the idea is it's value for value. The idea is if you create a bit of value by creating great content or creating content that the community likes or doing something that the community likes that you then communicate via content and the community votes for that, you earn rewards. If you take part in the Speak Network and you provide infrastructure, either storage or content delivery or infrastructure encoding, yeah, like any of those types of infrastructure, you're able to earn rewards as well. But again, you provide value and you get value back from the community. Where the idea is any critical thing that you're doing, so obviously creating the content is critical, running the infrastructure is critical. Those are critical things that, as long as we're using neutral layers, decentralized layers to reward those people, it means that there's no entity that can shut them down. It means that there's no way that they have to, for example, scale and register a business and make a business model that can then be taxed and regulated. Like, for example, with Lightning nodes, you have to charge fees in order to fund your node, right? Because the Bitcoin blockchain won't distribute inflation to the Lightning nodes, right? Which I think is crazy. I think it should be distributing inflation as it distributes to the miners. Why do the miners on Bitcoin get paid, but the Lightning Network node operators don't get paid? It doesn't make any sense. So now as a Lightning Network node operator, you've got to create a business model by charging fees and then register that business and everything else, right? So the problem with that is that you can be undercut by the big businesses. They'll just run free nodes and everyone will use those nodes. But on those nodes, they'll do KYC and then they'll sell your data. Whereas on a truly distributed network, you should be distributing some of the inflation to critical operators of infrastructure or critical value creators in the ecosystem. And that's really what 3Speak does. It does that on the Hive blockchain. It does it on the Speak Network. Yeah, so that's how it works, really. And we incentivize people. We incentivize the value creators, really. You come, you create value, you're going to earn some rewards for it.
Yeah, so yeah, incentivize the value creators. And you mentioned that the goal really is to be a truly distributed network. So why did you choose to build 3Speak on the Hive blockchain? I mean, the other co-founders of projects in the Hive blockchain already mentioned, like the Hive blockchain might be one of the most genuine, truly distributed or decentralized networks out there. So can I hear your thoughts about this?
Yeah. I mean, as I mentioned before, there's no CEO, no pre-mine, no ICO, no venture capital. There's no company that can be called up or regulated or shut down. So what that means is that the base layer is neutral. There is no individual entity that can control it. And as long as you have those conditions, you have a neutral base layer that treats everyone equally. And that's the thing to me. That's what you have to have. If you want to have some semblance of freedom, digital rights, everyone has to have the same digital rights with no questions asked at all. Right? Well, that's what the Hive blockchain provides. And it doesn't just provide it as a base set of neutral rights to everyone, but it also provides you with certain capabilities. So you can blog and you can communicate on the text layer on the base layer blockchain. And it also has a resource-based model. So the more you stake, the more activities you can do, the more interactions you could do on the blockchain. So if you've got zero staked, you might be able to do one comment a day. If you've got like $2 or $3 staked worth of the token, then you can do quite a few different transactions. You do a couple of blogs a day and a few comments. If you've got $5 staked, you can basically interact all day. And it's all free. There's zero fees because of that resource-based model. The more you have staked, the more access to resources you get on the chain. And none of it has got any fees. So that means quite a few things in the blockchain world. And it's a new paradigm that people haven't thought about, feeless transactions based on the amount of resources that you've got staked. So what does that do? It means that now we can send messages, we can talk, we can write comments, we can post content without having to pay a single fee, right? It means that platforms like me, as 3Speak, we can accumulate quite a lot of Hive and we can pay for our users' interactions on their behalf. So we can stake the resources, a lot of resources, and now our users don't even need to have any Hive. They can just interact on the blockchain because we can delegate some of those resources to them, right? So as a platform, as a social media platform and onboarding, it's perfect. Because imagine if you're a user and you're on an Ethereum blockchain, let's say, and you're using an Ethereum social media platform, you would have to, in order to comment, in order to post to the chain, you would have to already have some Ethereum to pay for the gas fee.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as a social media user that doesn't understand that, it's like, what? Yeah. I've got to go to the exchange and buy some Ethereum before I can post? Ah, forget that. And then the fees are quite high and they're getting higher. So you can't have feed blockchain, feed base layers doing social media and distributing value between the community. It has to be feeless because you're going to have thousands. I mean, on Hive, it's one of the most used blockchains in the world. It's like in the top five constantly. And it's in the millions of transactions a day, right? It's millions of transactions a day where people are playing games, people are posting blogs, people are posting custom JSONs to the chain, they're posting text comments and messages and all sorts of things all day, every day. Imagine the fees that would require on a normal feed blockchain. It would be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. People just wouldn't use it for that. So in order to have true social media, you have to have microtransactions. In order to have microtransactions, you have to have a feeless base layer. The other thing that it does as well, I don't know how deep your blockchain knowledge goes, but it's some of the realizations that we've come to is, for example, on the smart contracts. So a lot of these smart contracts, they're layer ones, and often they call themselves layer twos. And the reason that they're layer twos is because what they do is they basically say, we're going to be more centralized, but that allows our blockchain to run cheaper and faster.
Yeah.
So then they put that on a layer two to say Ethereum, right? So then what they sacrifice is security. So they don't, maybe you've got three guys holding the keys to $1 billion staked on a DeFi ecosystem, right? That's happened before. And then you get the rug pulls because it's only two or three people that need to work together to drain the fees, drain the funds. So what they do then is they batch everything together and clear to the Ethereum base layer where the security is, right? But if you batch all the time, you've got to pay a fee every time to batch to post to Ethereum, right? Or to any of these high fee base layers. Well, what that does is it means that the layer twos don't want to post very often clear to the layer one security. So they say, hey, trust us with your data, trust us with your funds. We won't let anything happen. And then you get the rug pulls. Well, the idea is if you have a feeless base layer, the layer two scaling systems can clear instantly to the base layer, right? Because there's no fee to pay. So they don't need to batch, which means you don't need to trust the layer twos, right? And no one in blockchain talks about this. I don't understand why. It's because everyone's got their bags and they can't, you know, change the fundamental model of their blockchain. So they have to avoid this conversation. But we really can't understand why people aren't using base layers that have got zero fees because they've got resource staking models. And then the layer twos is where the smart contracts are, not the layer ones, the layer twos. And then they can scale horizontally and they can always feelessly, instantly clear to layer one because there's no fees to pay. That's to me is the way it should be. That's the correct tech stack. And it seems that no one's looking at that. And so again, Hive has this in it. It's just fundamentally part of it. And there's a smart contract layer system being built on layer two at the moment called VSC. Where a lot of very, very, very low fee, if not free, smart contracts are going to be able to be executed, We're getting to the point on VSC where you're going to be able to log in with your Gmail address and not even have a Hive account. And you're going to be able to move assets on the blockchain via smart contracts. So you won't even need to have a blockchain account in the future to use these systems. It's very, very exciting, and the possibilities are amazing. And it's only because we exist in a paradigm where we don't have fees on the base layer. And many other people, because they have fees on the base layer, they cannot even think like this, because it's just a completely different paradigm when you get rid of fees. So that's really the reason that we use Hive. Those two main reasons. You've got your feeless base layer, you've got your ability to do social media, your resource credit staking, so you've got feeless system. And there's no ICO, no pre-mine, no CEO, no company behind it, so it can't be shut down. And that to me is critical.
I think all of these blockchain projects, this layer one quote unquote system, so they really differ in first how the economy is designed for the people to actually use and interact and basically live in the system. And second, how the entire infrastructure is designed such that it's truly decentralized. I remember one trilemma raised by Ethereum founder Vitalik. So it's like the security, about the security, the scalability, and the speed, or something like that. So I think that's also one of the reasons why why these blockchains differ, right? So some, of course, you know more than me, but I think Hive is like one of the blockchains that's really focusing on the security and on the decentralization aspect of it, or especially on the decentralization aspect on it, such that it retains that the people in the community, the users, really own their content truly, right? Is that right?
Well, we would argue that the scaling trilemma is it's a psyop. We don't we believe it has been pulled. It's the blockchain powers that be pulling the wool over the eyes of the community. The scaling trilemma does not exist, and we've proven that on Hive. On Ethereum, it exists because you have fees, but when you take away the fees, you lose the scaling trilemma. The idea is to have a nice balance. Between, like, if you have it fully decentralized, you have a juggernaut, right? So on Hive, there's 20 witnesses that are elected by the community, and they do enough. They are decentralized enough such that they can't collaborate and steal everyone's money, but they're not so decentralized that we have a very slow, lumbering blockchain, right? So you have the thing scales. It's one of the most used blockchains in the world. Hive is. It's got the most transactions per day out of almost all the blockchains, apart from, let's say, Wax and Tron. They're the only ones that really have much more. There may be one or two others at times. So it definitely scales. It has the security because no one's ever hacked the blockchain. It's never been shut down. It's never been, funds have never been drained or anything like that from Hive. So those 20 witnesses have been trusted. They've been elected by the community. And if they mess around, they get unelected and they drop out of the top 20. So they're accountable to the community. And then so that's security. And then is it speed? What was the other one? What's the other part of the scaling trilemma?
Decentralization, security, and speed slash scalability. I think it's
Yeah.
let's
So
check. Let's check.
Hive clears. Yeah, check it. The Hive clears in 3 seconds. It's basically the fastest blockchain out there. So we've got all of it there, and it's everything that you need to run a social media ecosystem on. So I personally don't believe that the scaling trilemma exists. I think it's an old way of thinking from the old traditional blockchains that they're just old technology, and they kind of still swear by it. And it's like we've been here for 7 years operating this ecosystem without the scaling trilemma being a problem. I don't understand why it's constantly mentioned.
It might just be like a mainstream opinion. Yeah, so I have
I
it
think it's
here.
a
The
mainstream
blockchain
opinion.
trilemma is decentralized, scalable, and secure. So how do you ensure those three aspects in your blockchain? Decentralization, scalability, slash speed, and security. Anyway,
Well, I would also say that the decentralization side is important because there's no CEO, there's no pre-mine or ICO, then you don't have a centralizing entity on Hive. And that's not because we're smart or anything. It's just because we stuck to a set of principles where we didn't compromise the centralization. We didn't we actually didn't want to have a CEO. We didn't want to have a pre-miner, an ICO. And so there is no central entity that can be called up and shut the thing down. So yeah. I think it's great. I think it's
yeah.
it's very counter to what everyone else is doing on blockchain. It's very counterintuitive, but it's here and it works, you know. And so that's the reason that we build 3Speak on there, because it just has, you have to have all those facets in order to have true digital rights for people, you know.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, it's really amazing on how blockchain technology keeps on developing, and maybe the perfect blockchain will be born, and maybe Hive blockchain is on its way there. but 3Speak, you mentioned earlier that there might be a friction if there's fees when you use the platform or when you start using a platform. So in the first place, how did you get users in the 3Speak platform? I mean, and how did you grow the community? And like right now, who are the people using the 3Speak platform? Who are the people posting content there? What kind of videos, what kind of content are being posted there?
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of stuff. There's people from all over the world. There's people from the Philippines, Indonesia, Ghana, Venezuela, Cuba. All those types of countries have got very big representations in the 3Speak audience and the 3Speak uploadership. I was just looking at a stat the other day in one of our meetings. In the last 3 weeks, we've had about 3,000 videos uploaded. It might even be the last 2 weeks through one set of encoder nodes. So there's another bunch of encoder nodes operating as well. And so they also upload quite a few videos. So we're really churning through a lot of content. People post. I think part of it's incentives. I think because people are able to earn some of the inflation by getting views and getting interactions on their video content, that's why they post, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen other people that post because they are being censored and they want a place where they're not going to be censored. So that's also part of why people post to 3Speak. And I think it's a cool thing to be involved in. This initial nascent phase of video, tokenized video communities is, it's very early phase at the moment. The tech's still new, but it's constantly moving forward, you know, and we're moving very quickly to a place where you have true standalone video communities that are tokenized themselves. And I just think people are interested in that side of it as well.
Yeah. Actually, I'm seeing more and more Filipinos use projects in the Hive blockchain, and I actually saw some Filipinos in the 3Speak platform. So yeah, it's true that more and more people, especially here in the Philippines, are being attracted to use projects in the Hive blockchain because one, they can earn money from it, and two, they find it as a good alternative to the traditional systems, to the traditional platforms that we have.
Yeah.
Let's know more about.
I have a question. In the Philippines, what is the local currency like? Is it strong or is it always losing value?
Right now, it's a bit stable. Although, maybe in the past few years, it has decreased like 10% compared to the US dollar. So
yeah.
It's stable. It's not that volatile.
It's not too bad, actually. It's not too bad compared to other currencies.
It's not too bad, to be honest.
Yeah.
For me, it's not too bad. I mean, inflation is bad right here. I believe that the economy is a bit bad right now. I mean, the price of the goods are increasing. But for me, the Philippine peso is, compared to other worse countries out there, other currencies out there, it's a bit stable.
It's a bit better, yeah. Because one of the reasons I mentioned that is because in countries where the currencies are unstable, in countries where inflation's high and you need to preserve your value or come up with a different way to earn, to me, the idea of getting involved in Web3, and I should say the reason that I mentioned this is because when you earn on Hive blockchain, when you get views on your videos and you get interactions on your videos and you earn some of the votes, you receive the Hive token, which fluctuates compared to the dollar, and you also receive 50% of your rewards in stable coins called HBD, Hive backed dollars.
Oh.
And there's a great tag on Hive and on Twitter now called #SpendHBD, right? And it shows people all over the world logging, earning the stable coin, and then going to the local shop And there's a great system called V4V.app. And it allows you to scan QR codes of Lightning invoices and pay with HBD, right? So anywhere that accepts Lightning, you can go there and you can use V4V and you can pay in HBD stablecoins that you've earned from blogging. And this is so powerful because it's dollars that are being distributed, but there's no government behind them. There's no centralized entity and people can earn them because they're blogging. And no one can stop them from blogging because they own their social media accounts. So we're literally creating a parallel economy in dollars that people can hold their value in, not be subject to too much inflation, and then go spend very easily using V4V app by scanning QR codes and paying for Lightning invoices. So it's so cool. And I've been all over the world doing this. There's videos of me in various different countries taking the HBD, the stable coins that I've earned, and scanning these QR codes to pay Lightning invoices in for coffees and small shopping and things like that, you know. It's really happening, and we really have these capabilities now. So that's really the distribution model. The model for parallel economy is do something of value, distribute currency to the person that's doing something of value, and then they have to be able to spend it locally. And we really have all those facets in place now. And so we are starting to see this parallel economy develop. So yeah, hashtag spend HBD. And the other cool thing about it is because we're supporting this initiative, if you go use V4V app and set up a local store that like get them on to V4V app, it's really easy to use. So they accept HBD payments, or if they're already on Lightning payments, so that they accept Lightning payments, you can go there, film yourself, record yourself scanning the QR code, paying for the product in HBD. Then you post that blog to Hive on 3Speak because it's a video. And we're giving big upvotes out for that. So basically, if you're using these systems and HBD to spend and buy products locally, you'll basically earn your money back and get the product for free because we're going to be upvoting it. Right. So if you buy a coffee, it's a $3, $4, $5 coffee, you'll probably get a $3, $4, $5 upvote from posting the fact that you've done that. So people are really doing this all over the world. People are doing this. Yeah. There's a tag called Spend HBD, and they're earning the money back that they've spent because they're using HBD.
Oh! I want to try that. I want to try that kind of life.
I would love to see if you have a local coffee shop or a local shop that accepts Lightning payments. I'm sure you can think of one near to you. Are you in Manila?
Yeah. I'm in Manila.
Yeah, so there'll probably be something nearby. Go try the look at Spend HBD tag. You'll see all these people doing it, so you can see what to do. And go use V4V to pay a Lightning invoice that's issued to you. It's zero fees. It clears in 3 seconds, and then you just record it and put that blog on 3Speak. And then, as long as it's under hashtag Spend HBD, then we will be looking for that and we'll be voting it, and we'll make sure that your blog gets your money back at least. So you get a free coffee. But that's what this is all about. You know, we have this ability now to create currencies and distribute them to people who create value. Of course, it's valuable if you're showing that you can spend HBD in the Philippines just because you've blogged and now get your money back. That's valuable to Hive, right? So then Hive's going to vote for that. So it's like incentivizing value creation activities.
Yeah. It's really rewarding. I mean, it's really about rewarding value as it is. I mean, because right now in the current traditional economies that we have, some of the things that might be of value that we do not really get rewarded. But maybe in a more distributed economy like this, the true things that have value, or that at least valuable to the people in the community, can be rewarded, right?
I think so.
Let's talk a bit more about you, Matt. So you're one of the co-founders of 3Speak. So can we know a bit of your backstories? How in the first place did you get into blockchain technology? And then what motivated you to build 3Speak?
I'm originally from the oil and gas sector. I'm a mechanical engineer, and I used to work and live all over the world, building multi-mega projects, you know, multi-billion dollar mega projects. And then I found out It was really a couple of things that happened in the news a few years ago, and I thought, that's a bit strange. It made me ask questions. And then I started, led me on a rabbit hole, and I started learning about the economy, and it ultimately ends with the economy. Like, who runs the economy? How does it run? How does it extract value from people? How does it give value to people? And then the more you find out about it, the more you realize it's a bit incessant and a bit corrupt. And then at the same time I was doing that, I heard about Bitcoin, and it was in 2013. So I was like, this is a potential solution. Although unfortunately, I feel Bitcoin has lost its way in the last year, and I don't think it's the solution that we need anymore, unfortunately. But that's a whole other story we can go into separately if you want. So I ended up getting involved in Bitcoin in 2013, and then over the years, just kept my eyes open for different projects, and I found out about Steam in 20, I think 15 or 16. Steam is the original version of Hive. It was a social media blogging platform. But that got taken over because it had a pre-mine, right? This is the problem. Anything with a pre-mine is susceptible to takeover. Anything with pre-mine or ICO is susceptible to regulation. And there was a company behind it, Steemit Inc. So there's a company. So you see, I'm Hive, when it forked away from Steam, when the takeover happened and it forked away from Steam, it created a completely separate economy. It had no CEO, no pre-mine, no ICO, no company behind it. So then all of a sudden you start to realize that's very, very difficult to take over. It's very, very difficult to disrupt or anything like that. And so I've just really followed this path. And just before Steam got taken over, I started building ThreeSpeak, because I saw all the censorship that was going on, and I realized, hold on a minute, if you can own your own social media account outside the platforms, that can be useful for censorship resistance. So we started building ThreeSpeak then. That's 4.5 years ago now. And then, yeah, when the takeover happened, we moved across to Hive, because Hive was just way better in terms of its neutrality, in terms of its censorship resistance. So yeah, that's how I ended up here, basically. And then of course we wanted to make sure that ThreeSpeak then, because if you're on a video app, it's got different infrastructure to a blogging app, because blogging is just text. So you can store all the text on the blockchain very easily. But video is infrastructure. Video is it's very intense. It's quite expensive to run. So you can't store video on the blockchain. You can't run CDNs on the blockchain. You can't do encoding on the blockchain. But you can incentivize it by building a layer two that allows you to distribute rewards to the people who create value by providing infrastructure, by providing the storage and the encoding. So then it's been a long journey. Like we've built all of that, and that system itself, which is the Speak Network, is way, way, way more complex than we could ever have imagined. But it does it. We finally got here after 3.5 years of building this, and now we're about to go into testnet of Speak Network, which really does decentralize all of ThreeSpeak. It really decentralizes the back end of ThreeSpeak, and it makes it very, very, very difficult to shut it down. And then, of course, it's not just for us. This technology can be applied to any other application. So any other application that wants to run video or any other type of heavy duty infrastructure or storage or backup, let their community back up their storage and their content, the Speak Network can do that for them. It's just a case of integrating it. And we spent the last 3.5 years building it, but what it means is that other social media apps don't have to spend so much effort to build all of that. They can just integrate what we've built. And we released the Speak Network with no pre-mine, no CEO, no founder, no company behind it. You're not working for any company or anything. It's a truly community-owned system. And again, it instills digital human rights into people, because they can all store, all platforms can use their communities to store their content now and reward their communities in a fair way. All platforms can allow their communities to run their own infrastructure, their own social media infrastructure, and reward them for doing that. You can't do that anywhere else. And that's the key, because now what it means is these digital communities can go away and rely upon themselves and their community members solely. They don't need to rely on any centralized app or Facebook or Instagram or YouTube that could shut them down, which has happened many times. This is true sovereignty for communities. So that's why, that's my where I've fucking got to, I guess.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your story, Matt. It's actually very inspiring. I mean, seeing the problem in the current world economy, and then building something to try to change it, and then building it further such that it can maintain its decentralization aspect, so that the people can have this alternative system, this alternative economy that wherein they can thrive, and where they can probably earn, and where they can actually really own their content, which is resistant from censorship. So I think what you're doing, Matt, is really nice. So thank you for sharing your story, and I think we can end it right there. I think it's a very good ending, sharing all of these principles behind TreeSpeak. So if our listeners want to know more information about TreeSpeak, so how can they get more information? You can lead them to the website, or you can lead them to anywhere where they can know more about TreeSpeak.
Yeah, TreeSpeak platform is treespeak.tv. Speak Network, which is where you can run all your decentralized infrastructure for the community by the community. That's speak.network, spk.network. And then we've got presences on Twitter at @TreeSpeakTV. And on Hive Blog, it's TreeSpeak, all one word, without any numbers. And Salamat Po for letting me speak. It's good to meet you. Jenny, I've heard a lot of good things about you, and I really appreciate you interviewing all the people on Hive. And hopefully it's good for you as well, and you're able to learn a lot and present these ideas to the world. So appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm actually learning a lot, and I'm actually slowly being fully convinced of what you guys are doing. I'm a big fan of you guys, and I'm a big fan of what you're doing for the whole world. So thank you, Matt. Thank you for this conversation, and thank you for sharing about TreeSpeak. Salamat.
Thank you, Mabuti.
Thank you very much to our 34 patrons. This episode is super powered by AskLex PH Academy, our official e-learning partner. Get certifications on Lean Sigma, project management, data science, and many more. Juan CFO, CFO services, bookkeeping and tax and payroll processing for startups and small businesses. Divico Technologies, IT solutions specializing in software development, blockchain smart contracts, digital wallets, decentralized applications, and cybersecurity. Voila, the next evolution of digital trust. Privacy-focused, seamless digital experience for sharing identity information across Web2 and Web3 ecosystems. Buzz, Web3 microblogging app promoting freedom of speech and content ownership. Benjoy's Food Products, the home of premium bacon ends, Tapa, and Tocino. And Space Cebu, the biggest branch in the Philippines, global co-working space, meeting rooms, and private offices for startups, digital nomads, and freelancers. Looking for buy and sell online with Sigurado Sellers. NutriCoach, the all-in-one productivity tool for dietitians and nutritionists. And Spotify Team, podcast launch, production, editing, and management company, helping to increase podcasters' efficiency. This episode is powered by Contact, affordable RFID business cards. Uplift Code Camp, Sirius MD, Board Prep, Pareto Consulting, Zales, and Pocketworks. Please support the podcast through the links in the description.